your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heisig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Good morning. Welcome. It is
yes.
Shock Therapy Live.
The best show on planet Earth.
Nice.
And in space.
Yes.
Because it's USSR space program.
Oh, man. I forgot about it.
Not letting it die.
Dang
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
y'all.
No, I want it to
we
continue.
Were so
I don't,
close.
I don't want it to be like the actual USSR and crumble.
And die out.
Yeah, I don't want it to be like that. I
because
want
of lack of vision and funds.
Yeah, and
oh,
communism.
Man.
Yeah, communism. Freaking A.
We want it to continue and take flight.
Dude.
Interstellar flight.
It is.
What?
Shock Therapy Live. We're here for you. Mm. Pastor Nate Heisig joining us in studio, of course.
Mm. Week
in and
week out.
It is our 1 hour therapy session. Maybe you're brand new to Star 88 and you don't know. First of all, we'd like to give this disclaimer at the top of the hour because we have a
this
lot of
this is not your grandma's show.
No, young and old. This is also not your
toddler's
child
show.
If you are, you know, if they're still of the Sesame Street age, maybe they should just continue learning numbers and letters. Maybe not some of the letters that are spoken on this show.
But so. Today's show is brought to you by the numbers 88.3.
Nah, I like
oh,
that.
Oh, man.
There you go. We are here for you. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you got a deal with a coworker that you're frustrated about. You just need some advice how to handle the situation. Maybe you're going through something in a relationship. Maybe you just need, some schooling. Maybe you need some help with something. You read something in God's Word and you're like, wait, bro. I don't understand how to apply this to my life. We just want to hang out with you, really. You can give us a call, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700.
Yeah, and you can ask us any question.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever gotten a question before, unless it's like a super theological question.
Yeah.
And then we're like, hey, that belongs on Theological Thursday.
Yes.
Theological
That's right. But nothing is really out of bounds or off limits. Nothing that we haven't tackled before, talked about before. And so, I just want to hang out with you, man.
We finally helped Steve-O break out of the closet last week. It was a monumental show.
Closet was
it
that?
My actual closet.
He was stuck in there. He literally locked himself inside of this closet.
I finally just had to unscrew the hinges because the door
No, that's not what happened. I came in and I valiantly yelled, I'll save you, Steve-O! And I broke down the door with my shoulder.
That's awesome.
That's what he is here for. He breaks down barriers.
And it was crazy.
Yeah.
You were all emaciated and I fed you a steady diet of applesauce and pigeon meat for 2 weeks.
Pigeon
what
meat.
Is going on?
I'm so glad that you're alive, Steve-O.
He's lucky. He's really lucky.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that 2 week period all took place in a week.
Yeah.
Man,
that was amazing.
You had the time gym.
Yeah. Yep.
What
time warp?
The only thing that sucks about it is you fed me pigeon meat. And now I think I got a case of the bird flu.
Oh, go to the phone before
don't
they hang up, please.
Shock Therapy Live. Hello, welcome.
Good morning. I am calling. My name is Carol, and
Hi, Carol.
I had a question I wanted to ask you. My boyfriend and I, we've been together for 3 years. We were both married before.
Okay.
Both had messy divorces and such. We are Christians, and I guess we renewed in our faith. We were born and raised Catholic, and we now attend Calvary, so we have a different type of relationship now with our Lord.
Yeah.
But we both don't want to get married because of our past experiences. And so we're very conflicted because we understand, you know, that goes against the teachings of the Bible. Mm. So any direction you have is appreciated.
Yes. Pretty simple. Follow the Bible. you know, I think here's a reality. I think we can never dictate and judge what we do after a failure based off of the failure.
Mm.
And it sounds like you guys were both in a relationship before, and you guys didn't have a serious relationship with Christ. And there's something that sets apart a relationship when it's founded and grounded upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. You guys said that you both have a renewed faith in Christ. You know, you grew up Catholic, but now you're following the Lord. You're really trying to seek and serve Him. him. Mm-hmm. And so I think that takes the odds and the chances of your relationship being successful, and it greatly multiplies them if you base your relationship on Jesus Christ. Now, I believe the opposite is also true, that if you decide, you know what, you know, I know the Bible says we should get married, if, you know, we want to be with each other, we're going to have sex, but we're just going to do it outside of marriage, we're just going to live together, well, then you're taking your marriage and you're basing the foundation of your marriage in sin. Mm. And that is never going to end well. It's going to end painful. It's going to end brutal, because messy. You're basing your entire relationship in sin. And so, you know, God honors us if we honor him. And if you base your relationship in a relationship with him, the Bible says that a three-strand cord cannot be easily broken. And so if you wrap your relationship around Christ, then it's only going to strengthen your relationship. But I've seen time and time again people start their relationship off in sin, and then the bedrock for their relationship is always sin. And this is what it causes you to do. It causes you to say, man, if they're willing to break God's law for me, are they going to be willing to break God's law for someone else? So when someone else who's a little bit better comes along the way, are they going to be willing to go against what the Bible says, you know, to have an affair or to sleep with that person, because they obviously don't treasure what the Bible says seriously enough to do what it says in the beginning. So why would they be unwilling to break it in the future? And so that's why it's really important to make sure that any decision we make in life, that we're basing it upon the precepts and the foundation of the Word of God.
Yeah. Does that help you out?
Yes, it does. And one more question.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate your answer. That's kind of what we were thinking, but we were just kind of hesitant. But I have two children from my previous marriage. At what point do you decide, I know as a Christian that we are not to take, we're supposed to try to resolve things with fellow Christians and not go and address things in court. At what point do you decide, if you're having issues with a former spouse, that, you know, things need to go in and get addressed in court? At what point do you say, you know, dear Lord, I'm just going to offer this up to you, but things aren't changing? At what point do you decide, okay, I need to seek judicial intervention?
Yeah, I think when laws aren't being met, when laws of the land, laws of the state aren't being met, because the court system is there and it's meant to make sure, you know, the Bible is very clear that we are to honor the government, that we're to honor those who are in authority over us. And so when you have somebody who's taking advantage of your love for Jesus Christ to break the law and hurt you in the process, then the loving thing to do would be to go to court and let the law and let the justice system that God has put in place over us deal with it. So let me give an example. Let's say your husband is told by the court he needs to pay child support, and he's not paying child support. He's being a deadbeat dad. He's not paying child support. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. Well, I take him to court and say, look, that's not right. You're not supposed to do that. The law has set things up in a place to make sure that our kids are getting taken care of. And so, you know, when it's just, this is really where the idea of taking someone to court falls into play. It would relate to a brother or sister in Christ. It would be like Steve-O. He makes me mad. He does something. And I say, I'm going to sue you because it's not anything that's necessarily law. It's not like he went and murdered my family.
It's because I used to have a rocking mustache, and Nate grew a mustache, and people didn't like his mustache as much as mine. So he sued me for the right to wear the mustache.
Yeah, it's done out of envy, or it's done out of contempt. It's not based on Levi. Not Levi. Steve-O didn't break the law.
Right.
He just did something that I didn't like.
Right.
Now, and so that's where the idea of taking your brother to court, suing your brother, comes into play. Isn't necessarily when they're breaking the law. It's when you just kind of don't like what they're doing, and so you're like, I'm going to get back at them. I'm going to get even with them. I'm going to figure out a way to hurt them.
Yeah, that's not the way to go about it.
Okay, and thank you so much for your previous response. You know, as I said, I have two daughters, and I feel weird calling him boyfriend, being that, you know, I'm in my mid-40s. So, but anyhow, I mean, he's a wonderful man, and we both, he doesn't live with us. We have separate homes and such, just because, you know, I do have two children.
Good.
But I think it was just getting to a point where we're willing to look beyond our own personal such, and just realizes the family, you know, family centered around Christ.
Yes, amen.
On paper and not just in our hearts. Yeah. Well,
And be a good example for your kids as well. You know, it's not just living together. Don't you guys have sex until you guys get married too. You know, you guys stay pure. And even if you've messed up before, it's okay. You know, you can start now. Say, you know what, we're going to get married. Until we get married, we're going to stay pure. We're going to stay abstinent. Because someday when your little girls are asking about sex, you know, you want to be able to say, you know, your daddy and I, we both made mistakes earlier in our first marriages, but we decided to do it by Christ, by what Christ wanted us to do. We stayed pure, and you want to be able to have that testimony to share with your little girls someday. So so you make sure you stay pure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you also for all the programs that you offer over at Calvary. We live out of town, and so we live closer to Hemis, but for us to just go up there on Wednesday and to participate in everything that you have and to feel a sense of community, just so you know, it really makes a difference in everyone's life.
Amazing. That's
so
great to hear.
Blessings to you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much. You too. God bless you.
All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700 if you would like to hang out with us. It is Shock Therapy Live, and nothing off topic.
Dude, this is it's just a fun show. You know what I love about Shock Therapy Live? I drive in the morning, and I literally say, I wonder what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
And that's what's fun. It's not scripted. It's not like you say, okay, we're going to talk about this story, or we're going to bring up this, you know, funny thing we saw in the news. It's literally you go in and say, I have no idea what's going to happen today. Yeah. And that's fun.
It's cool.
It's fun doing that.
It's literally an hour centered around you and what you would like to talk about. So give us a call, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. We also like to hear from people who maybe have been in that situation before. We just had this last caller say, hey, one, you know, I was previously married. I got a couple kids. Hesitant to talk about marriage with this boyfriend. Maybe you've been there, or maybe on the flip side, you were one of those moms or dads who struggled as a single parent, and the other participant, if you will, in the daddy and mommy arena was absent. How you handled it? We would love to hear your stories as well. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. If it's sensitive and you don't want to say your name, like the last caller, open and honest, awesome, told her name, everything. Maybe you're a little more private. You would love some advice on something, but you don't necessarily want the world to know about it. You can always email us. We promise to keep you anonymous. Our email address here is studio@star88.fm. That's studio@star88.fm. You can email in with your questions, your comments, your whatever. And dude, we're just here to hang out.
Yeah. And we have zero questions right now.
I like it. It's good.
So that means that this is what that means for you guys listening.
Okay.
It means that we get to jack around and talk about whatever we want until somebody calls and asks us a serious question.
All right, let's do
it. If you don't want to hear us talk about nonsense, you better get off your lazy butt, pick up that phone, dial the number, and give us a call.
Yeah, but what
what's
if
that
they
number?
Like
what's that? What's that number, Steve?
505-338-3700.
505-338-3700.
Hey, what if they like hearing you talk nonsense, because you talk about some of the dumbest things, and I know, I seriously know people who tune in specifically just to hear you try and throw me off. You told them if they don't want to hear you do that, but what if the majority of the people just actually like hearing you sound like an idiot?
Well, then they better do some soul searching. Ooh. And figure out what's really important in life.
I think that's actually a reason why I do really like this show, because, you know, when you go to a church, and, you know, especially here, this beautiful campus, Calvary Albuquerque, and Pastor Nate Heitzig, and then you're in here and you're acting like a moron. It's like, oh, he's a human being. I like that.
I think that too many Christians take themselves way too seriously.
Absolutely.
And I think too many people outside of the church view pastors as these people who it's like, oh man, like, I could never make a joke in front of them, or if I ever drank a beer in front of them, I'd probably go right to hell.
Right.
You know, and they have this idea that pastors are like holier than thou art.
Right.
And I think it's kind of fun to let them know, you know, we got three guys in here in this studio who love Jesus Christ with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind.
Yeah.
And we love having a good time.
We do.
We love joking around. Having we love messing around. And so we got two callers on the line.
We
hold
do.
On the line
Phone
right now. If you
jammed.
Called on the line, we're going to bring you guys up in just a second.
Yes.
But please hold on the line. But we love having a good time. And we like having a good time with other people. And that's why it's fun to, you know, let people call in and
hang out with us. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Let's go out to line one. Hello, Shock Therapy Live.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I like hearing you talk nonsense.
Oh,
and
good.
I do not have a question or anything. But
you just wanted
birthday.
To give us a call and encourage us.
Yes, exactly.
Rock and
it's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
Birthday.
Oh, man. I think
Nate's
we need to
sing you happy birthday.
We need to sing the birthday song. You ready?
Sing.
Okay. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
Happy birthday.
What's your name again? What's your name?
My name is Rochelle.
Rochelle.
Rochelle. Happy birthday to you.
There you go. There you go, Rochelle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great
day. Look at that.
You know, it's an example of how you should probably work through things before you just start making an idiot of yourself, because we totally got halfway through the song without realizing we didn't.
No, it made it better, because see, that's what people, she just said, that's why I listened.
Oh, nonsense.
Do stupid stuff like that.
Perfect.
If we like, if we knew her name through the Holy Spirit, it wouldn't have been as cool. It would have been hyper spiritual.
It would have been weird.
We're like, whatever, like, happy birthday to Holy Spirit, what's her name? Rochelle.
Holy Spirit,
yeah,
what's her name?
Yeah, but then it would showcase tell me your God. Crazy Holy Spirit powers. You'd be like
Holy
the new
Spirit,
Doctor Strange.
What's her name?
Wow, 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 wow.
He doesn't work like that. We actually talked about
the
Holy
Spirit.
Magic. On Theology
100%
Thursday.
100% he does.
Magic.
So.
Liar.
Going out to line two. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so excited to talk to y'all finally.
Oh, what's your name?
I'm Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer. Okay, if you would tell us to sing happy birthday, we know what your name is now, so we're covered.
That's good. There you go. See, you're learning. Nate's growing.
So here's my issue, my question. So there's a lady at church, and we were kind of close at one time, but then we kind of had some issues, and she hurt my feelings and said some bad things, and she did come and ask for forgiveness.
Nice.
And I forgave her.
Did you?
But I'm trying really hard to forgive her. I'm trying so hard. And I forgive her, and then I see her again, and then I get mad again, and then I have to bring it to God again, and it just happens again and again. It's really frustrating, and so I don't even want to be around her because she makes me sin. I don't know how to put it.
She makes me do everything
she
wrong.
She makes me sin.
I've got the solution for you.
Okay.
And I just want to say, and this is serious. I literally actually know. Well, the thing is, forgiveness is in the heart.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's hard to have your heart follow your actions.
Mm.
So I think that one of the things that I find really helps me when I have somebody in my life who I have a hard time forgiving, is doing what the Bible says: bless those who curse you.
Mm.
I just recently had someone in my life who I felt wronged me, who I felt hurt me, and initially, you know, all I wanted to do was kind of block them out of my life.
But we are co-hosts, so you can't.
Right? No, it's not Steve-O.
Oh, okay.
It's Teo.
Dang it. I'm just over here taking myself too seriously. What did I do wrong?
No. So what I did though is I realized, you know, you can't harbor a grudge at somebody who you're blessing.
Mm.
And so what I think a good thing to do when there's somebody who you have a hard time with, somebody you have a grudge against, somebody that bothers you, is find ways to bless them. Get them a gift. Go out and buy them a gift card to a restaurant. Take them to dinner. Invite them to your house and make them a meal. Go out of your way to find ways to bless them. And you'll find that as you find ways to bless them, it's impossible to be blessing somebody. It's impossible to be be going out of your way to make someone feel loved and also still harbor resentment and a grudge within your heart.
Mm.
And so what I would do is I would find a period of time and I would pray for this person every single night. And not only pray, I would also find ways to physically do outworkings of love and bless them, give them gifts, make them meals, do whatever you can to show this person that you love them. And you're going to find that as you do that, the feeling of resentment and bitterness in your heart, it's going to erode as you let love take its place.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, if you do it out of a place of entitlement, it's going to grow that bitterness and resentment, because then you in turn will say, look at all that I'm doing for her and they don't even deserve it. So you have
to... No, that's
to,
what I'm thinking. Yeah, like, wow, that sounds great when you say it out loud, but I'm like, no, like I can pray.
That's called pride. You have
yeah,
to
well...
But, I mean, it's true, because I hear what you're saying.
And this is, you got to get yourself in this mindset of... Yeah. are you doing it because they deserve it? No. And you might even say, tell yourself they don't deserve it. But guess what? When Jesus Christ hung on the cross and bled every last drop for us, we didn't deserve it. He did it because we didn't deserve
it. While we were yet sinners,
Christ died. And the reason you're doing it for her isn't because she deserves it. The reason you're doing it for her is exactly because she doesn't deserve it. You're doing it for her for that reason. You're saying, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Maybe don't say that.
But don't say it to her.
You don't deserve this.
You don't deserve
but I'm going to stoop down. I'm going to help you. Now, and here's another thing. So, to me, though, you can totally forgive a person, but just because you've forgiven somebody doesn't mean that you have to keep putting yourself in the situation where you're constantly around them. You need to give yourself some time to heal, and sometimes healing just means not being around somebody.
But now I think there's a difference here between guys and girls, because
that
I find—
That can totally be true.
There's a lot of women that I've met that think
there's a lot of differences between guys and
but,
girls.
But if you think about it, the way girls typically deal with grudges and the way guys deal with grudges is very different.
That's true.
Girls were very much that say, oh, I forgive them. I'm just never going to talk to them ever again.
Right.
And that's really not forgiveness.
No.
Yeah. I've
counseled with women who say, oh, yeah, I forgive. I just don't want to ever see them again. And that's not really forgiveness.
That's not really forgiveness.
And so you don't want to get to this place where, okay, yeah, of course I forgive them. I'm just going to avoid them for the rest of my life. Well, that's really not, because a forgiveness really will not just remedy the way your heart feels about them, but will remedy the relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing that we heard in Jesus Loves People is that true love allows itself to be taken advantage of over and over again. And you can't allow yourself to get taken advantage of if you avoid that person for the rest of your life.
Now, it also goes in line with something, you know, we do these ministry moments here on Star 88 regularly, and I heard something this week from Tony Evans. He is a regular contributor on Star 88. He was actually talking about this very thing, because there's two steps to this. You've got forgiveness, and then you've got reconciliation. So it sounds like maybe you're stuck in this middle point where it's like, I want to forgive him, but you don't really want to reconcile. You don't want to be reconciled. And as you so eloquently put it, Nate, I mean, that's not the way our Lord works. You know, he forgave us while we were yet
prodigal
sinners.
Son, man.
Absolutely.
He forgave him and he reconciled. He allowed him to come back.
Amen.
He put a cloak on him.
Amen.
He hugged him.
Yeah, it's like this idea of forgive but never forget, and that's not reconciliation.
That's
there's,
a bad
there's
tattoo.
There's no restoration to this relationship.
This isn't
whatsoever
the zoo.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. Stop waving your trunk around.
Oh, I'm like, what? What?
I do think there might be some wisdom in just taking a step back for a time, like not a long time. You can't. Like Nate's saying, you can't write somebody off.
Yes.
Our call as Christians is to never write anyone off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's just situations where sometimes I think it's healthy to take a step back, put some distance between you, because that distance can totally heal the relationship and lead to reconciliation.
Yeah.
But never, ever write somebody off.
Yeah, you
that's
can't,
not right.
You definitely can't say that.
And that's where I say the difference between guys and girls.
Yes.
For a guy... Guys can almost solve any relationship problem by stepping back for like a day.
It's true.
A guy, it's like, you did what? And it's the worst thing ever. And then 2 days later, because they didn't see each other for 2 days, hey, it's okay, no problem.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Guys, but I've found girls, it's a lot different.
Forget?
It's almost like girls, when they separate from that, they stew over it. Like, it's like, and I think that's the issue, is that guys, when they separate from, you know, a relational issue, they don't think about it for like the next week.
It's true.
The reason why they can forgive is because they literally don't think about it. And then they see the person like, oh yeah, I totally forgot, no problem. Where girls, they separate, and it's like they spend a week thinking about it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my gosh.
Coming up with different motives and reasons.
And so when they see him again, they're more mad than when they saw him last time. They're like, oh.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah, you're kind of right about that.
Yeah.
So.
It happens.
Right?
Stop stewing.
I've got a wife.
Stop blaming them. You can't blame her and say that she's causing you to stumble. It's like, how is she causing you to stumble? Because every time I see her, I want to punch her in the face. Like, that's actually just your heart. That's just you. She's not doing anything in this moment.
So that's why I would say, if you're going to, so that's why I say, Mateo's got a good point, but if you're going to separate for a little bit of time and not see him, spend that time praying for
him. Yes, absolutely.
Spend that time reading the Bible. Spend that time thinking about ways that you're going to bless them. And if you do that, it's going to keep you from spending that time thinking about how much you hate them or what bothers you about them or, you know, whatever it is. Spend that time seeking ways to bless them. Spend that time praying for them and spend that time seeking the scriptures.
Yeah, absolutely. Does that help
you out? Awesome. That's really great. Yeah, I think that's what I needed to hear. And can I ask you one more question? Like,
what are y'all on to have so much energy? Because I need that
cocaine
right
third?
Now.
It's not cocaine.
Yeah. I'm
on my third cup of coffee. We've been up since 4:30. So
yeah.
See, we're.
I think for me, it's just me.
It's just
which
Nate.
Is kind of
Nate's
scary.
Just obnoxious.
Nate has a lot.
Matt
things.
And I wake up before the sun.
Right.
Sometimes
we're like, "Hey, Lord, are you awake?"
And he's
are
like,
"You up yet?" And he's like, "Hang on, give me 5 more minutes."
They're drunk on sleepiness.
Yes.
Yeah, we're kind of we're at our midday right now.
Yeah,
so
this
we're
is
at
halfway.
We're about energy level.
As soon as the show's over, we're eating lunch.
Yep.
We're calling it. Yeah, we're halfway through our day. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, guys. I
thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you. All right. 505-338-3700. The phone number. Packed show today.
Yeah, dude.
Packed
we got another phone
show.
Call.
All right. Let's go out to line one. Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your name?
Unless you don't want to say.
Jason.
Jason? Okay. Right. If you don't want to sing happy birthday, I know your name.
Right.
No, not my birthday.
It doesn't have to be your birthday. If you want us to sing you happy birthday, though, I know your name.
Maybe later.
Yeah.
My question is, I've got this guy at a small group. He's claimed something I don't really agree with, and I wanted to some opinion.
Okay.
We were going through a study on Revelations, and we came across the reference of the Angel of Death. And his claim was that he did all this study and that the Angel of Death is actually the devil. And I've read through the Bible a few times, and that nothing I've ever seen or read sat well with that. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Is that true?
You know, the
I
true
did a lot of study on Wikipedia.
The true Angel of Death, what I would relate it to would have been the Angel of Death from Exodus, to where the Angel of Death came through Egypt, and any doorpost that had blood painted on it, he passed over. And that Angel of Death was not a messenger of Satan or Satan. It was an ambassador of God. God sent that angel to deal out judgment, to deal out to deal out the killing of the firstborn of all those Egyptians. And so, based on that study, I would say that it is not Satan. And it would really be an ambassador of God. It would be now. It doesn't say what the angel's name is. I've heard some say
Jeff.
That they believe that that's. I've heard some say that they believe that's Michael, because Michael's typically an angel who kind of comes in with judgment. But the angel isn't given a name anywhere in the Bible. So I'd be really curious to. I would lean more towards agreeing with you. And questioning where he did that research from, and what source and what knowledge he got that research from. But I do think this would be a great question to call in tomorrow for Theology Thursday.
Absolutely.
And ask Brian Nixon.
Yeah, our buddy Brian Nixon, Theology Thursday, every Thursday morning at 9. In fact, the study of the end times eschatology, that's coming up on our list of studies. So I know that we're going to be going into that very soon. So
yeah
man.
Cool. Right. Yeah, and that was my understanding as well. You know, the whole Exodus, Angel of Death. Now, would that be the same person that who the Exodus Angel of Death is? Be the one of the four horsemen that his name was Death.
Okay, no, that's different. One of the four horsemen, when his name was Death, would be different. When you're talking about the true Angel of Death, what verse is it that you were talking about in Revelation?
I don't have anything in front of me right now, but I don't really know. I just remember that we were going through, and I think it came up with the four horsemen and the fact that his name was Death, and this guy mentioned that one of Satan's titles was Death, or the Angel of Death. And the only thing I had ever read was that not that. Title of his that you know he has that Satan has been attributed to killing people, but never an actual title, Angel of Death or Death himself.
I'll tell you what, man, digging this deep into eschatology, I would definitely hang out with us tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour for Theology Thursday, because we'll have pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro in, and that is the specialty of the show, is theology. So
yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you want to know how to go back to the guy and talk to him without, you know, strangling him, we could talk about that. But
yeah, and so now, yeah, so I would. What you're referring to is Revelation 6, verse 1 through 8, is where it talks about the four horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, it nowhere says within that, nowhere calls him an angel of death. So I would not equate and say that who it's talking about in Revelation 6 is the same as what it's talking about in the book of Exodus. And so I would I would call in tomorrow and talk to Brian Nixon about that and what his thoughts are on that.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Great. Absolutely. Right. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
What if it was like Revelation 6:1 and then the angel appeared and had a name tag and it said, "Hello, my name is Jeff.
Jeff, the angel of death."
Dude, you guys were cracking up about that.
I thought it was funny.
I just thought of this giant, terrifying angel of death with this, like, sword and chaos with a, like, seriously, little, like, red and white name tag that said, "Hello,
goes, my name is Jeff.
My name is Jeff."
Phone lines are jammed again. Let's go back out to the phone line. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Yes, I have a question. It's kind of a sensitive subject matter, so I don't know if... Am I on the radio now?
You are. You're on the radio.
This is a live show. Don't say your name if it's that sensitive.
Okay. I am divorced. I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. And the father of my children has come out that he is gay.
Okay.
And so they're asking questions. I don't really know how to respond to that other than that this is your father and he loves you. But... kind of different from what was taught in the Bible.
Right.
And, second point, how do you kind of move on from something like that?
Hmm.
You know, married in the church and such. And anyhow.
Yeah.
So
kind of heavy afterwards you just talked about that.
So your husband came out and said he was gay.
Yes.
Now, have you guys gotten a divorce?
Since then, was that what caused it, or is this something that, you know, you guys had already been divorced and then recently came out, he came out, or?
Yes, we were already divorced, and this wasn't the cause.
That puts some clarity to it.
Yes.
Now, what was the status of the divorce? Why did you guys get a divorce?
Actually, what it was it wasn't a very good marriage. There was some domestic abuse and such, and he... was out doing other things with his time. I didn't realize what it was. I had just found out that he was out someplace and you know, emptying our bank accounts and such. And so it was something that just wasn't a good situation.
Right.
Okay.
And so I'm assuming at this point you have full custody of the 4- and 5-year-old you're talking about.
Okay. And so you're wanting, what you really wanted to know is how you can explain this to your kids, how you can talk to your kids about it. Okay, so what I would talk to your kids about, the way I would explain this to your kids, is that sin in general pollutes. Sin pollutes, sin skews, and sin takes things from the way that they're supposed to be, and it changes them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would go back with your kids to have a conversation with this to your marriage. Say, you know, when your daddy and I got married, God intended that marriage to stay together forever until we both died. That's what God intended. But sin came in through the way of domestic abuse, through the way of whatever it was that caused that marriage to split up, and sin caused that marriage to be skewed. Sin caused that marriage to be distorted, and it ended up not going according to God's plan. And so I would take them to Romans, where it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who does good. There is none who understands." And I would get them, where I would get them to understand first is what sin is. What sin is, what sin does. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, God intended them to live forever in the garden, in a place of beauty. Sin entered, and sin skewed, and sin distorted God's original plan.
Mm-hmm.
And from getting them an understanding of that, then I would explain to them God's intention for marriage, that God intended marriage to be between a man and a woman, and for a man and a woman to be married and to have children. And I would let them understand that because of sin entering the world, it skewed what God's original plan was. And sin is what caused these other feelings to have. And so again, I would really let them get into an idea and understanding of what sin is and what sin does. Mm-hmm. Because what they're going to hear is that, well, it's natural. You can't dictate who you love. You can't dictate your feelings. But I would counter that with feelings are never a good justification for anything. There are some people who, from a very, very early age, have a feeling that they want to hurt animals or have a feeling that they want to hurt people. Well, that doesn't make those feelings okay because we're all born into sin. There's others who have a feeling that they love, a family member. Man, I really love my sister. Well, that doesn't make it right for you to marry your sister. Or there's people who have feelings, a tendency to want to do drugs or to drink. Well, that doesn't make those feelings okay. Feelings are never a good thing to justify and base our actions off of. Nor are feelings a good thing to say that because I feel a certain way, it makes it right. Mm-hmm. That's never, that is, again, we've talked about it before, the ultimate extent of moral relativism, saying because I feel this way, it makes it right. And when that happens, you know, there is no stop to that of ever being able to say that anything is right or anything is wrong because it's completely according to what is right and wrong in our own eyes. And so I would have a conversation with that, with them, and I would let them know, you know, I think it's okay. I don't know how much they see their father, but if their father is still somebody that they see on a frequent basis, I think it's still okay to let them know, look, your dad still loves you. Just because he's doing things that he shouldn't be doing, just because he's living in sin, doesn't mean that your dad doesn't love you. But he's making wrong decisions. He's making wrong choices right now. And so the conversation, though, that I think needs to start with your kids is about sin, what sin is, what sin does from the beginning, and how it's not just related to homosexuality, but it's related to a multitude of sins. And the essence of a relationship with Christ is that we lay down our lives, we lay down our wants and our desires, and we live a new life in Christ based on his wants and his desires in our life.
Does that help?
Yes, and one question that helps very much. How do you proceed forward in forgiveness? How do you separate the sin from the person for myself and for my family and all of us as we continue to go forward?
I have a question, actually, before we respond to that, is how active is he in the life of your children and you? Is it something where you guys divorced and you were still friends and still very, very active and attentive in the life of your children and then, you know, came out and said, hey, I'm gay? Or is this something where, you know, he's not active, he's not involved? Obviously, you guys divorced for gnarly reasons, and so therefore he's not really a part of anything.
Well, I have a restraining order against him, but he does see the children every other weekend.
Okay.
Hmm.
Okay.
So he does. He does see them, and so it's just, especially now, just with the way everything is going, you know, with the government and everything. I mean, I keep my children away from kind of mainstream television just because of the nature of mainstream television.
Yeah.
But you know, things with the direction that everything is going, you know, with the Supreme Court ruling and everything that's coming up, it kind of puts a lot of a big burden on single parents or families who take their children to church and whose families are centered, you know, around Christ. How do you go forward when we go to church and we believe in one thing and we're taught one thing, but yet the government and the powers around us that make the decisions say something different? And so it's just kind of a delicate subject, and apparently, my understanding of what I've been told, it's something that he's very open with now, and so it's something that my kids see, and they've asked questions. It's kind of just been something we didn't talk about because, I really know how to talk about it. But
well, from the beginning of time, I mean, the world, I mean, since when Jesus Christ came and the disciples, you know, really started taking the message of Christ and spreading it across the world, the world's never really been a safe or sterilized place for Christians. There's always been an element of us being in the world and having to deal with what the world system says and what God says. And so I don't think it's good to insulate ourselves and say, okay, well, I'm just going to avoid it and hope that they never experience
it. That's the purpose of Shock Therapy Live in general.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is eventually your kids are going to hear it. And you, as a parent, have the choice to say, are my kids going to hear it from me and from a Christian worldview? Or are they going to hear it from my husband, from someone at school, or from the media from a secular point of view? And the choice is yours of where they're going to hear that from and what impression they're going to get first.
Right.
Do you want to be explaining after they've heard about it, trying to do damage control, saying, no, no, what you heard isn't true? Or do you want to be the first one to talk to them about it and have the first opportunity to let them know what the Bible says about it?
Right.
And I think we as parents have the responsibility to be the first ones to talk to our kids about some of these things. And I think a lot of parents grow up so scared, saying, man, well, I'm just going to do as much as I can to make sure they don't get exposed to it for as long as I can. But then that all that is playing on the defense and not playing on the offense. You're just hoping that when the time comes, you can have a good enough defense that you're going to be able to save them from whatever they get encountered with. But I think we as Christians need to be on the offense. And from the age where your kids can start understanding and comprehending sin, I think it's good to start having those conversations with your kids.
Yeah.
I know Josh McDowell, I've used this story before, when his kids were at a very young age, but the age of being able to comprehend what sin was, they were walking in Venice Beach, and one of his kids saw the F word written on a wall and said the word and said, what does that mean? And instead of freaking out and saying, oh, that's a bad word, don't look at that, I don't want you to ever say that word,
right,
Josh sat down at that wall and had his kids stare at that, and he had a conversation with them about what that word means, what the perversion of that word is, what the world system believes that word entails,
yeah,
and had a great conversation with his kids about sin and about the fall of man and about how the world system perverts God's intention for sex. And so I think we as parents have the opportunity,
mm-hmm,
to have those conversations with our kids, and I don't think we should miss out on those opportunities.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's a perspective I never considered. Thank
awesome.
You. I do appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the phone call.
It is Shock Therapy Live. We got about 15 minutes left of show. If you would like to chime in, I know phone lines are, every time we get one open, it gets jammed right away.
Yeah, so, dude, it's good.
Real quick on Facebook, somebody asked if Calvary has a support group for widows. She's a widow and looking for a group of people to meet with.
Goodness, I don't know, but I know the best place to check would be the website, or if you give the church a call, there should be a receptionist there, 344-0880.
That's right.
You can give us a call and ask someone at the front desk. We have so many different groups. That's why I don't know. We've got probably over 100 different groups that help different people deal with different things. And so I'm sure there is, but I don't want to say there is and then there not be one. So
right. CalvaryABQ.org or 505-344-0880, the phone number for that. I know we got an email, but let's go out to the phone line first. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Yo, what's up, guys? It's Anonymous.
Hey, Anonymous.
I love you guys, love what you're doing, but I have this against you.
Okay.
I'm in my truck listening to my radio, and sometimes I listen to you guys all the time, but 90.7, the names of the songs come on my screen.
Mm-hmm.
105.5, the songs come on the screen.
Mm. 88.3, they don't.
88.3 does not come on the screen.
Dude, I got a solution for you. Give us $100,000 and we'll get that up for you.
Stop it.
Okay. It really is.
You know what? On our app,
all right, man.
We have the recently played list at star88.fm on our app. Not only do the names, but the actual album artwork comes up on your screen. So if you check it out on the app, you'll see everything for it as well. So
yeah, and it's something we've wanted to do. We've desired to be able to have that technology in here.
Yeah.
We've desired to even have the technology to do HD radio, which some of the clear channel stations do. It just costs a lot of money to do it.
Yeah.
And we're a non-commercial station.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to stay afloat and not go under. So it is something we want to do. And if we ever have someone who says, you know what, I want to sponsor that, here's a big check to get that done,
right,
we will do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Was that literally the only question? Because I love it.
That was, I hate to ask a question like that after a serious one, but I was
No, it's okay. That's what makes this show fun.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know what you're going to get. So
if the whole entire show was just kind of depressing, sad questions, I probably wouldn't do the show because I'd be bummed out every day.
You wouldn't be bummed out. We're stoked to get to talk to people and help them through.
of course we are, but if that's all I got to do every day. It's the same thing. I love being a pastor, but if all I did every day as a pastor was do counseling appointments, I would be bummed out all the time. We have pastors who like to do that. Carrie Rose is one of those pastors who loves to talk to bummed out people all day long. Dude,
so
that's
if you're
not
bummed
me.
Out, 344-0880.
Carrie Rose.
Ask for Carrie Rose. All right.
He's going to get a flood of calls, and he's going to blame me.
Hey,
Nate told me to call you because I was bummed out. Oh, thanks,
cool.
Nate.
Cool.
All right, so we got an anonymous email.
Okay.
I can
hey,
run faster
guys,
than him, though.
Me and my wife go to a small non-denominational church. We both play in the worship band. His wife is backup worship leader, and they lead the small youth group, about 8 kids. The problem is that our congregation is spiritually dormant and are just going through the motions. We are not getting fed there. We've been thinking of joining another church, but feel trapped because on top of what he said about them being so involved, his dad is the pastor of the church. Please let us know your thoughts on what we should do. Thank you.
I'm assuming he is at least 18 because he said him and his wife, because maybe that'll change it.
In Mississippi, it could be 13, man.
Gosh.
So repeat the question one more time really quick. Sorry.
Okay. So
dude and his wife are worship leaders at their church.
Okay.
They also lead the youth group of about 8 kids.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The congregation is spiritually dormant. He is not feeling fed there in any way, shape, or form. Him and his wife are thinking about joining another church. But on top of everything, his dad is the pastor. So
what you gonna do?
Yeah. You know, I think that there's this concept in the Bible that we can't rest on the religion or on the relationship of our fathers.
Yeah.
And I think that also ties into this situation to a certain extent. Just because your dad's a pastor of a church doesn't mean that you have to or that you're called to go to that church for the rest of your life. And I think a conversation that I have with your dad isn't, I wouldn't say, you know what, I feel like this church is spiritually dormant. but I do think it's okay to say, you know what, my wife and I want to be at a church where we have more people our age, where we can feel more connected. We love you. You know, we're still going to be involved and see you, but we want to fellowship at a church where we can get fed with people our age, get connected with people our age. And I'd phrase it from that kind of a standpoint and pray that he understands. If he doesn't understand, if he really gets offended by that, understand that he is your dad and you're telling him that you don't want to go to his church. And so that is tough to hear. So give him a little bit of grace within that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be one of those guys that says, if he doesn't understand, you know, he's in sin. Because that's, I think through my, you know, my dad, if I told my dad, hey, dad, I'm going to go fellowship at another church in town, as much as my dad loves me, as much as my dad, you know, loves the Lord, it'd be tough to hear.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, if you're not getting fed and you want to connect with people your age, I think that's a conversation you have to have with your dad. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with going to another church if you feel like you're not getting fed.
Yeah.
I'd just be really careful how I address it and approach that subject with your dad.
It's your pops. Yes, yeah, especially if you're coming to your dad, you're like, I'm really not fed here, my pastor, dad, pastor.
Hey, dad, so this church that you've been pastoring, I think it's really spiritually dead.
You know what? I'm dying on the inside spiritually. You are not doing a good job. I would like to go somewhere else.
And then his dad says, well, just eat more communion bread.
Gosh.
And then you know, maybe I should
go
somewhere else.
To go.
Maybe
it's,
I should go.
It's time to leave.
Or better yet, you go into his office and he's eating communion bread. Right. Hey, what's up? You want some communion?
Just getting fed, man.
Nom, 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 nom. Nom, 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 nom.
But before you go, you eat that communion bread.
It is
you
tough.
Eat it.
It definitely is tough. So,
Dad, where'd all the communion wine go?
Oh. But it's then again, it's not like he's a 17 years old living at home. Like we're talking about a dude who's a grown up who is married, who is the head of.
Man,
what's
that's
difficult
a tough
in
situation.
That? I was going to say the
really
difficulty
tough.
Of that is with small churches. If he is the what did he say the worship band, him and his wife are the worship
and
leaders,
lead the
and
youth
the
group.
Youth group.
Steve-O, did you send this email?
No, Steve-O. Dude, I would never
quit
be a youth
telling
pastor.
People I'm your wife, man. No, I'm just kidding. You know what, though? I remember back when our pastor left our church in high school, and it's a little different situation. Definitely not the family situation. But then, of course, you know, there's always the group of people that want to follow the pastor. And that just happens. It always does. And I remember being a senior in high school and not knowing, you know, what to do. Because you get to that point to where you've been somewhere a long time and maybe a new pastor comes along and you're just not getting fed.
Yeah.
But you help. You're an important part of the ministry. And me being in the youth group at that time, I was trying to be,
yeah.
you know. And so That's a tough call for anybody in any situation. I can't imagine if it's your dad.
Well, and here's the big question, because in a position of leadership, you should always be raising up that next, whether it's generation or someone else, to take your place, to replace you. You should set yourself up to be replaceable, because if you're in this position and you're like, well, my wife and I are doing everything and there's literally no one to do this, it's also going to be lame to leave your dad high and dry and say, hey, Pops, I'm spiritually dead here. I want to go somewhere else and be fed. Good luck with all this. I'm totally leaving the church, and you don't have a youth pastor and you don't have a worship team now.
Yeah. So. It's like that quote in Age of Ultron where Ultron says they have babies to help them die easier.
Yeah, to replace them.
Did you literally just quote?
Hey, when you
Avengers
were saying that,
Age of
that's
Ultron?
Exactly what I was thinking. I was like, Ultron said that.
What just happened?
And you know what? It's always an interesting thing to see a person in this situation, because a lot of times you'll see somebody and they feel like they're taking on too much. But then at the same time, if you suggest to that person, well, why don't you hand that opportunity or that thing off, that person is usually saying, well, no, because I just want it to get done correctly and I'm the only one that
like
do
Iron
right.
Man, like Iron Man, yeah. Like Tony Stark.
It's right. He's right, Steve-O. Let him do this.
Yeah.
This is cool.
But if he didn't do everything himself, we wouldn't have the vision. So
right. But that is an interesting place to be.
Do it all yourself.
I wonder if that situation has arisen in your life where you want to step away and you think you should, but at the same time you're like, man, but if I step away, everything's just gonna fall apart.
You got to remember that it's God's ministry first and foremost. Before it was your dad's church. It's not your dad's church. It's the Lord's church. And so, yeah, we should all be replaceable. Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
it's good. Especially, well, it's so funny when Ultron said that in the movie. I was like, wait, that's kind of a biblical principle.
Yeah, there's a lot of times it was almost a biblical principle, or was. I really liked Age of Ultron.
Yeah,
I've seen it twice.
I want Ultron.
You want an Ultron?
Yeah,
he tries to murder the world.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that. And I like that. That's cool.
Man, unfortunately.
Better than a dog. Someone comes, hey, give me your money. Hey, Ultron, go kill that person.
Coming to the end of it. We are Shock Therapy Live.
Go kill that person.
Do you hear the electronics in the background? It's like we're building an Ultron.
Oh, man.
If you missed any part of the show, definitely download the podcast. It's absolutely free. Beep,
beep. And if you want Static Radio, have an Ultron.
Or Star 88.
Write us a check for $1 million.
That's right.
Yes,
Star88.fm/Shock Therapy Live. Thankfully, Nate now owes us $10.
No, we're going to take that check.
We'll take it. Take it to the bank.
Woo. Thanks.
Until tomorrow, that is it for us. Again, download the podcast. It's free. Star88.fm/Shock Therapy Live. Coming back, we got some Mickey Echo, some Aaron Gillespie, and a girl, Mitch. She's up next. Until tomorrow.
She's not as cool as us, though.
That's it for us. Steve-O, Teo, and Pastor Nate Hudson.
Goodbye.